You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Exodus 19, where we read from this just a few minutes ago, where Jake read from, Exodus 19. And look at this. We are going through Multiply, which is our discipleship ministry, and we're doing it together as a church right now. And right now we are in Exodus and learning about the covenants. And we looked last week, Pastor Vicki did, at the Exodus. And this week we're looking at the call of the covenant, God's call of the covenant to Israel. And so even though we've got a new calendar year, we're still, as a church, on a particular journey. And we've been on this journey for a little bit of time. But man, you look back in a year's time and what a difference, you know, for us as a church. That we look back and I think back on the year, you know, we've sold our property, we've acquired new property, we're in the midst of having permits pulled so we can get to work on the coffee shop. We've worked on changing up ministry models, so much more. And that now we're part of getting into the new year, even though it's a calendar year, it's still part of where we are on our journey. And part of that is Multiply, which is our discipleship ministry. And it's where we're learning together. We're doing some readings every week. There's whether it's by book or online or through the Multiply app, every week you've got some things that you can be reading. And right now, again, the journey through the Old Testament. And then some concentrated reading. For instance, this week we want to be reading Exodus 19 through 24. And so every day of the week, if you read one of those chapters, you'll make your way through that particular reading. And part of that is equipping us. It's a way of preparing us as the church, as Heights Church, for harvest. It's equipping each of us to be strong in our knowledge of the kingdom of God. So that when we're finished with this journey, and if you've gone through it with us, there's a confidence that you can have in helping others in discipleship to understand what it means to be a disciple in Christ, what it means to be a part of the church, what it means to study Scripture, and then to walk through the story of God from the Old Testament through the New Testament, and what does that mean for us today? So that when we get through this process, you can then, in turn, help someone else in their journey of faith as they come to faith and as they begin a walk with Christ. And part of that is just the understanding, the anticipation that, friends, harvest is coming, and we need to be prepared for harvest. Amen? And we want to be part of that. So our journey in Multiply has us right now in the Old Testament. And so we're gaining an understanding of the narrative because it is God's story. It's not our story. It's God's story. Where do we fit into that? So we've talked about, through this journey of the Old Testament, we've talked about the creation and talked about the fall of humanity, then the covenant with Abraham, God's covenant with Abraham, then God's deliverance of Israel. And now we come to a huge part of not only what is next for Israel and their story, but it was what is next for us in our story as well. We've already, through the first part of Exodus, we've seen the deliverance of Israel. Moses has led them out. They go through the plagues and the setting up of the Passover and the observance of the Passover and, you know, working through the obstinance of Pharaoh and Moses being prepared that whole time. And God has delivered them. And they come to the mountain of God. Israel comes to what is called the mountain of God. And he has called them out by his grace, and he now calls them to himself. And here's the thing we always need to remember. They have done nothing to deserve this. And that's what grace is all about. Amen? You didn't do anything to deserve this. He saw you where you were, and he defeated the enemies in your life and called you to himself. And that's the grace of God. That's the call that we have. So when we get to Exodus 19 and 20, it can be a little bit of difficulty for us, okay? Up to this point, we've actually had some story, okay? Now we're going to hit some real good snooze time because we're going to go through the law. And we're going to go through, you know, we can get through the Ten Commandments. We can manage that. But after that, it's like, you know, pomegranate bell. And it's like, you know, what kind of bronze? What kind of gold? What kind of, you know, what's a porpoise skin and where'd they get the dang thing? You know, and all of this stuff. You know, what? How do they put all that together? And we get through that in Exodus, then you hit Leviticus. It's like, oh, you know. You wake up for Numbers because there's that talking donkey episode. You know, that's pretty cool. And then you fall back asleep because Deuteronomy just repeats the same thing. You know? And this is a difficult place for us. But it is a vital place to understand what's going on for Israel and their story and how it relates to us. But you get through all of these rules, and we see rules, or we see laws. We see, you know, the term law. And we think rules and regulations. And in our sinful nature, the next thing we may think about is, how much can I get away with? Or what's the minimum I have to do here? You know, what are we talking? But I want us to look at it from an understanding of that's not really what's happening here. Exodus 19 and 20 is more than a laying out of rules and regulations. It's a call to covenant. It's a call to relationship. And there are similarities in Exodus 19 and 20 of an ancient wedding ceremony that is there because it's a call of love. And we see how God does this. He calls them out so lovingly. These terms used in this passage are terms of endearment. In verse 4, it says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey and fully keep my covenant, and then out of these nations, you will be my treasured possession." These are not, you know, legal terms. This is not Congress passing a law. This is something that says, I've called you out. I have treasured you. And there's this language of love and a calling to covenant. So he's provided Israel with a calling. And he's done so out of his abundant grace. He's delivered them, brought them to this mountain, and he lets them know he's done all of it because he treasures them. He has reached out in love to them. And what we have at the mountain of God in Exodus 19 and 20 and what follows in the story is, will Israel respond? God lays out his intentions for Israel, and now the question to Israel is, how will you respond? What are your intentions, Israel, for God? And God is saying, here's how we can walk together. Here's how we can know we're walking together. Here's how we know things are going well. And he lays all of this out for them, and there's this call to response. So with the law, we don't have a set of rules and regulations as much as we have a vehicle for Israel to be preserved and then equipped for their mission in the world. God has declared his intentions for Israel, and now he's asking Israel to declare their intentions for him. Will they move away from all that they have known for the past 400 years, which is worshiping a pantheon of gods? The gods of Egypt and the Pharaoh as God and all of these things. And would they serve and love only one God? Would they dare to break that radically from their past to serve a God that loves them that much? Their call and our call is really special. It is a call to be a kingdom of priests. To be a priest is to be an intermediary. For us, or for Israel, it is to be that intermediary between God and the world. As priests, we are called to demonstrate the goodness of God to the world. So that when blessings of God and kingdom blessing flow to us, and the world sees it and goes, and then for Israel, here's how it goes. The world looks around at Israel and they see blessing is flowing to them, their nation is prospering, but how is that possible? They only have one God. You know, they don't pray to a sun god and a moon god and a rain god and a wind god and a ground god and all god of fertility and all that. They don't pray to all these gods. They pray to one. And they've got blessing that flows to them. How does that happen? And then you have the invitation, come and see. That's how the kingdom of God helps us be priests to this world as well. That when we will not operate in the same way as this world, but kingdom blessing still flows to our lives, people look and go, how is that possible? And then the invitation is, come and see. Let me tell you about who I serve. Living in covenant blessing is powerful. It's a powerful witness to the world. It shows the world a different path. It shows the world a different path that's not going to be filled necessarily with violence or hatred or bitter struggle. Living in covenant blessing should demonstrate a new way of peace, of love, of gentleness, of true power. History from time to time helps us to see powerful examples of the way of the kingdom in the face of violence and horror. That it doesn't have to be a response like the world all the time. I've shared it before, but I love this story of Corrie Ten Boom, who was a well-known Christian speaker and teacher after World War II. And her story is well-known, written down in the book called The Hiding Place and a movie that was made. And during the war, her family, they were Christians, and during the war, they lived in Holland, and they felt part of their calling was to help Jews escape Nazi occupation. And so her father had a little clock shop, and above, they lived two floors above it, and this little space, and he created a false wall and had a little space so that if Jewish families were making their way through, they had a network and they could connect, and he could take in a family, hide them behind that wall until it was safe to get them on to the next place of their journey. And they did that for a few years. And at one particular point, the family was betrayed, and the Ten Boom family ended up in concentration camps. And Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy end up in a couple of different concentration camps, and they suffer horribly, so much so that Corrie Ten Boom's sister Betsy dies in captivity. The family was strong in their faith, and faith kept them through the atrocities of Nazi occupation. And after the war, Corrie began to tell the story of the hiding place. And she ministered regularly throughout Europe and in the United States. And she told the story of one night in the late 1940s when she was sharing at a church in Germany. And she had finished speaking, and after the church service, a man comes up to her and starts to engage her and thanks her for her talk on forgiveness and grace. And then he talks about how he himself had been in the Nazi movement, had been a soldier, but he had come to forgiveness. He'd come to faith in Christ. And when he began to talk about that, she recognized him. He had been a guard in the concentration camp where she had been a captive. And all of a sudden, all of those memories come flooding back of the atrocities of the Nazi camp and what those guards had done to them. And as he extended his hand to shake her hand, she said she froze. And hatred started to fill her heart. And then the Lord just spoke to her and said, is forgiveness really real in your heart? Because if it is, you'll know I've forgiven him too. And with everything in her, she finally got her hand up and shook his hand. And she said when that happened, grace and mercy flooded through her again. And it was like, she said, it was just like I got saved all over again. I realized the grace and mercy of God. That is not what the world teaches. That is the blessing of covenant life in the kingdom of God. That is what it means to be priests of a treasured God that loves this world that much. And we don't always understand it. We witnessed it again this last year in South Carolina when a white supremacist kid was welcomed into a black church one night during their Bible study. And then after a while stands up and opens fire and kills 9 of them. And at his arraignment, family members showed up in court and spoke, and they spoke words of forgiveness and love and mercy. Something so radical that in our politically charged climate today, a lot of Christians didn't understand that. But that's the power of the kingdom of God. We don't have to walk a particular way anymore. We can know blessing, and we can know forgiveness, and we can know mercy, and we can know justice, and we can know the abundance of the kingdom of God. That's the power of what God is calling Israel to do here in this passage. And he still calls to us because Peter reminds us of this these very same words in 1 Peter 2:9, that we as the body of Christ, we have this same calling. We can live as powerful priests. We can live as powerful priests in this world. We have a God who treasures us. In the ancient world, all other gods thought little of humans and used them for their purposes. But here is a God who calls them out, defeats the gods of Egypt, and says he loves them. And he has shown his intentions for Israel, and he now asks for their intentions in return. Will they enter into his marriage, into this marriage covenant? God has shown his intentions for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he has called you out of darkness. And he has shown you the way of redemption. He has shown his intentions for you. And friends, today the question is, what are your intentions for him? And that's what we are called to in 2016. We are called to be priests to our world. To create a space in Columbia Heights where peace can reign. Abundant peace. There are two words the Lord dropped into my heart for us for 2016, for my family and for the church. Abundance and harvest. Abundance and harvest. That he will give us his abundant presence. And he will give us his abundant provision this year. And as he dropped those into my heart, and we're walking through the Old Testament right now. Now, as I go through my reading and my study, I'm marking my Bible in a new way. I'm looking for ways where God's abundance is described, and I'm noting it. And my goodness, the Old Testament is full of the promises of his abundance in our lives. The blessings that he promises us and the promises that are there, not physical and material, his presence, who he is, he gives to us. And I'm having a great time, and I invite you to be a part of that. As you go through your reading for Multiply this year, where do you see abundance? But that second word is harvest for us. I believe this really is a year for harvest. Last week we were in Alabama with Joshua and Lisa, our son, our oldest son, and his wife, and our new grandbaby. Have I told you I'm a grandfather? Have I mentioned my grandson yet? Okay. And then we were so privileged. It was such a blessing for us because we got to have all our kids and daughters-in-law with us. You know, we got, so Jared and Emma went with us, and Josiah went with us, and we were all together. And the last Sunday, we got to go to Joshua's church and just see what he's a part of. And it's just a gorgeous place. And they had just gone through a building project in the last year and added on space. And they're doing several campuses. And the Lord has blessed their ministry so much. They actually are the first church that has a ministry on death row in a state prison in Alabama. Because they stream online and the state prison allows the prisoners to watch those services. You know, what a blessing, you know, and it's a beautiful place. And I was walking through the building and the Spirit spoke to my heart and said, if I choose to bless you with abundant harvest, what is that to you? If I choose to bless you with abundant harvest, what is that to you? And it was just the Lord just saying, it was the Lord saying, it's time to print something. It was the Lord just saying to me, Dan, if I want to give harvest and it's time, I'm going to give harvest. Mm-hmm. You're ready. This church is ready. Let's give it, you know? And so we want to be ready. And it was this challenge. God wants to pour out harvest and we need to live in expectation. We want to be prepared and we want to anticipate. So the question is what are your intentions for God this year? How can you walk in a way that will intentionally treasure Jesus? And the things I have as reminders are the basic things. They're core things. But they've got to be there and they've got to be deep and embedded and secure. And they don't go away. Last week, one of the places I love to go when I'm down there is the USS Alabama. It's a battleship from World War II. And I love walking through, going through it, and I'll take different sections of tours every time I go down there and get to visit that magnificent ship. And this time I intentionally walked through where I knew it would take me into the control rooms. So the radar and where they navigated the ship and all of that. It's not up top in the bridge where you can see everything. It's down deep. And it's buried deep so that if the ship is attacked, this is the most protected place on the ship. The captain's not even there. The captain's up on the bridge. Yeah, but the communications and the weapons launch, all of that happens deep in the heart, and you protect that heart so that the ship can still function and you can go into battle. And these things are simple reminders of what's deep within us. You protect it and you nurture it and you protect your heart so that when battle happens, you are ready. You're not damaged. And so these are simple reminders, and it's really three things. It's perseverance, it's prayer, and it's the word. Not ground shaking stuff, you know, but it's how do we stay at it? The perseverance that we need, that we have a task to stay at. And probably the biggest thing that we fight when it comes to perseverance in our particular culture is distractions. We just get distracted. We start into something and we go, oh, shiny thing, squirrel, you know. We're just like, whoa, new thing, you know, and off we go instead of just staying at the task. And we need perseverance to stay on task. When we don't get our reading done, for instance, we don't give up. We pick up where we left off and we keep right on going. But we need prayer, and we need to stay in the presence of Jesus. So just a couple of things there. One is just to have a way to stay consistent. And some of you have prayer lists that you keep, a prayer journal. I use a prayer app called Prayer Mate that helps me with the things that I want to pray for on a consistent basis. They'll have scripture for me. You know, I put in scripture, so I'm meditating on prayer scriptures every day. The missionaries that I want to pray for that day, family members, church members, all of those things that I want to go through and the big things, the miracles that I'm asking for as well. And, you know, something that I need. Now, here's the thing. I found out the prayer app won't pray for me. It's kind of a bummer. It's a flaw in the system. I'm working on that, you know, but you actually have to read it, you know, and you actually have to pray, you know, and it's with anything, but it keeps me on track. So find a way that you can consistently keep on track. Something that you're going to be able to go back to that's going to remind you of, this is what I need to be doing. But also, in the way of prayer, there needs to be praying consistently, and then praying at times where you need to withdraw for a little bit of time, a prayer retreat, a silent retreat, or just a time to get away. And this is where... you know, we have connection cards, and these are areas. There are three specific things in the way of prayer, and one in the specific way of the word that I want to have you interact with me on. So, if there's something that you want to interact with me on, fill out the connection cards, and you can put them, drop them next door when we're done with the service, or give it to Sid there at the door. But three things specifically in prayer, in consistency in prayer. One, two have to do with, let's pray bold prayers. Because there are times where we can add in bold prayer with a little bit of fasting. And so this week, the Lord's really challenged Terry and myself for spending a little bit of time of fasting, which is always a good thing after the first of the year. I went crazy on my birthday. We were driving, but we met some friends in Nashville, so I met them for barbecue because we're in Nashville. Had good barbecue. And then we get to St. Louis that night, and I had more barbecue. I'm like, oh my word, I'm a half a century. This is not good, you know. And my body's like, you're right. So fasting is good, you know. But add in a little bit of fasting, but bold prayers. So a couple of things to interact with the connection cards for this week in agreement. One is maybe there's a miracle that you need in your life. And I've got a list, but maybe there's a miracle that you need in your life. And if you have a miracle that you need in your life and we can pray for it, would you jot that down? And we'll pray for it. We'll pray for it tonight in our prayer group. We'll pray for it at staff this week, and we'll keep it. And we'll pray for your miracle. The second thing is would you be willing to take some extra time and pray for a miracle? And if you're willing to do that, would you jot your name down, maybe an email, and I can send you some of the things and we can be praying boldly for that stuff. And then the third area is that in prayer and withdrawing on a regular basis, one of the things that I do to withdraw on a regular basis is two times each year I get away for a retreat. And this spring is another time, and it'll be a silent retreat. And I mean, just for the novelty of seeing me not talk for 3 days, you should be signing up. But if that is something the Lord calls out to you, if that's something that might interest you, it's not a commitment to do it, but it's a commitment to say, I'd sure like to talk to you more about it. Maybe you want to jot that down. I'd be interested in the silent prayer retreat and joining you. Now, by joining me, I mean simply we're just going to go to the same location and we're really not going to talk. Okay, and I'll walk you through that, what that means, and it is 3 days. Okay, and there's a reason for that, and I can share more about that and unfold that. But to pray for those things, there may be a time, so you may want to let me know. But some of the things that I'm praying for, put down your miracle. I'm praying, praying for Johnny. He had battled another foot infection this week, and we just need to see God just really bring healing into his life, financial miracles they need. Terry battles physical pain almost every day, can't sleep at night, and I'm praying for a miracle in her life. My dad got another bad report this week on some possibilities of some things going wrong on the aorta wall and going back for more tests this week. I'm praying for a miracle, those kinds of miracles. Praying for the Lord to move through and we get these permits done. I can pray for paper pushers, I'm praying that the paper is on the bottom of the stack, floats to the top, and somebody actually does some work this week in government, and we get some, that's a miracle, asking for a government worker to do work, I mean, it's like, we need miracles, and I'm praying, Lord, let's get this going, let's get it done, and praying for the remodel to get done. So all of those things, but let's have the understanding of we need consistent prayer, prayer that withdraws us from the world for a time, and then let's pray some bold prayers, even this week. Just ask the Lord for some big things. And then real quickly, just sharing about the Word. And we put such a premium on the Word as we walk through, multiply. And if we're going to treasure Jesus, we need to hear him in prayer and in the Word. And multiply gives us a vehicle for reading, but you can look at different things. I'm doing a YouVersion Bible reading plan this month with My Utmost for His Highest and reading that devotional and interacting with Scripture there. But also is memorization, and that's the other thing for the Connect card. Memorization is a key. And I want to go through this year for something I didn't get accomplished last year, and that's memorize Romans 8. And maybe you'd like to memorize it with me, or you have a passage of Scripture that you would like to memorize, and accountability really can help. And if that's something that you would like to, now it's not accountability of, Pastor Dan, did you memorize Romans 8 yet? And I ask you, what did you memorize? No, I'm just asking you if you memorized Romans 8. That's not that one. I'm not looking for that. But if we want to memorize the Word together. But in all of it is perseverance. Let's do it today. Let's pray today. Let's engage the Word today. And let's get at it tomorrow as well. Let's pray.